This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's the drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive and the two.
He's been here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman. Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Show
we didn't have one yesterday.
We do our best meetings.
I was like, my bad.
Yeah.
We do our best meetings in the 30 seconds in between.
We do.
The and the intro.
Piper, you busted out of here yesterday. I thought you'd be out
there eating
a ribeye.
And got out of here.
Oh, man, I wanted to make that so bad, but I went ahead and put it in the freezer. I'm going to save it.
Oh, I did the same
I'm going to save it because I thought, Lon, how many ribeyes do you need in a day? Right? You can only have so many. All right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay. He's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise straight ahead. He's in. Today we got a lot of sports to cover and we've got a lot of time to do it, which is awesome. It seems like the last few days, especially yesterday, and believe me, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Having Ben Peterson in here, of course, from U of I Meat Sales Room. Like Derek said yesterday to Ben, he's like, what are we going to do the next 2 weeks? Like, what are we going to eat?
I know. Seriously.
Luckily, I keep buying meat every time he comes here, so I've got enough in my freezer, I guess, to eat for a while, but it's like, come on, Ben. Lot of stuff. We're going to talk some NFL. I know, Derek, you love the NFL, and I'm right with you on that. Travis Blaney, Two Men in a Truck, we'll visit with him around 5:05. And then, of course, our weekly segment with Mikey Dudek, former Illini player. I know this. He texted me after the game. I think we were all a little bit, you know, rushing the judgment, speeding the judgment.
Emotional is a good word.
Emotion. And he texted me, and he's like, I'm not holding back. And I was like, oh, boy. So maybe by now – he's kind of calmed a little
bit. Does he need to be, though? Should he be?
No.
Because rushing to judgment, I don't know if that judgment that you rush to is necessarily incorrect.
True.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
It certainly helped. Those 48 hours helped me with my language. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. We're not on a podcast where we can bend the rules a little bit.
Please, kids, do not use language. It's bad, the bad language. Don't use that. But certainly out in the tailgate lots, I wasn't exactly making friends. And I just went from one person to the next.
Now you're friendly.
They're like, Lon, just go get a Bud Light.
Actually, my brother was like, Lon knows everybody. He's so hard to track at a tailgate. He's talking to these people. He's playing bags over there. Then he's playing catch. You can never find that dude.
It is weird because I just bounce from one person to another. Because somebody will be like, where are you at usually in the tailgate? I'm like, I have no idea. And normally I'm talking to this guy, and then I'm talking to her, and then I'm talking to that guy, and then that dude, and then another guy walks up. I just love visiting with people, and I love getting the pulse, especially after games of Illinois fans, and that's what's fun. Can we start, though, real quick with basketball? Because you tweeted out something about Adam Miller.
Yeah.
Is he coming here?
He's coming this weekend.
Oh, baby. How big is that?
It's huge.
Bigger than the Nebraska game.
Yeah, you kind of hoped that game was a little bit bigger as far as the fan turnout. And I think that most people could still go and have a good time, right? Tailgate and first Big Ten game and get a chance to see Nebraska. And who knows what happens?
Listen, by Saturday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I will be chomping at the bit to get into Memorial Stadium and watch that game.
Yeah.
And hoping that Illinois can get on the right side of stuff and beat Nebraska. And Trevor, you had a great tweet today that I want to talk to you about as well, about football. But Adam Miller is a kid that we always forget this, but he was from Peoria, right?
That's right.
So
was a former high school teammate of DeMonte Williams.
Oh, that's right.
Used to train together all the time.
I forgot
That's a forgotten point because everybody's like, oh, teammate of Io, they played together at Morgan Park. Well, he played with DeMonte, too.
I forgot that.
Man. Yeah.
You guys are pretty tight.
You remember how Illinois used to rule Peoria, right? I mean, every kid out of Peoria, Sean Livingston? He was from Peoria. He stopped that little trend, didn't he?
Well, you got DJ Richardson, right?
Yeah. And then, but was he after Sean? I guess he was. Yeah, he was. But, you know, you look at this and I quit doing this years ago, but there are so many, you could put a piece of paper down and say, all right, positives for Illinois, negatives for Illinois. You know, the negative, of course, number one is always we haven't been to a tournament in 6 years or whatever, but the positives, you got a kid that is originally from Peoria and, you know, I don't care what you say. There's still with McLean and Griffin and these guys. There's still some lore there, if you will, right? The Peoria kids really, I think, take pride in the fact that they've helped elevate this Illinois program. But I know he's lived in Chicago now the last 3 years, but you're still in state, which should help you. But half the time, 80% of the time, that doesn't matter. You played with DeMonte. You played with Io. So it's just one of those where the positives outweigh, I think, the negatives on this, yet I don't feel good about it.
Yeah, you don't feel as good as you thought maybe you would have at this time. When you looked back maybe earlier in the summer where it seemed like, okay, Illinois and who else is a real threat to them right now? Kansas has been involved for a while. They have the offer out, but how hard are they pursuing him? Louisville, do you see him going there? But now Arizona State and Arizona have emerged as legitimate players, and we'll still see if Kansas pops up at the very end of this thing. They just offered Ryan Kalkbrenner, and I said this morning on Jeremy's show, but it's kind of interesting. Adam and Kalkbrenner played together with the Fire, and Adam pops up on his Instagram and will say, wherever you go, I'm going.
Oh.
And there's a lot of posturing and misdirection sometimes in recruiting where you just say those things to get fans riled up, and it's not really real, but if Kansas actually wants Kalkbrenner, which they offered him, and then if they decide, well, we're going to make a run at Miller, that could be something that maybe scares you in the 11th hour. But right now, as you mentioned, a lot of things stack up for Illinois that makes sense. Adam went to Peoria Emanuel, where I'm sure he heard a ton about Frank Williams, Marcus Griffin, and that team, and how good they were, and then obviously going to Illinois and won Big Ten championships.
Right.
And, yeah, also, Io's here. Set the stage as far as what you can do as a top 50 guard coming to Illinois, your home state program, staying close to your family as well.
Sure.
That's important because Adam's mom, they're pretty tight. She moved up to Chicago from Peoria to be with him at Morgan Park.
Okay.
And I think that playing close to her is important to him. So the opportunity and all that lines up for Illinois. They just have to complete the sell and make sure that they get it done.
Who's the Kalkbrenner?
Ryan Kalkbrenner from Trinity Catholic, the 7-footer who
that said no to
put him out of your mind.
I did.
All the other basketball guys from the St. Louis area.
I was surprised Kansas offered him.
It was late too, and he's not in that typical. He's not a top 50 recruit. He's in that 75-80 range.
Okay,
but
is he leaning closer to one school, or did he just basically tell Illinois, you're not in?
Kalkbrenner was down to Creighton, Purdue, and Stanford.
Okay,
and he has even said as of late that he was about to make a choice or come close to making a choice, and then Kansas is like, oh, yeah, we want to offer you.
Taking Adam Miller out of this equation, because I don't know the young man, obviously, and I'm not ripping on him when I say this, but if Illinois, or I'm going to say just when Illinois makes the NCAA tournament this year and when Io is a first rounder, then what excuse will be used by recruits? I want to know that. I mean, I know it's just one of each, and a lot of times that doesn't signal a trend by any means, yet the one thing that we always hear is, well, you got to win, and I totally agree with that. You know, I mean, I know Jeremy uses that all the time, and he's dead on with it. You got to win games. So if you win games this year, and not only that, you put a guy in the NBA, and, you know, now you look at it and say, all right, Brad Underwood has coached, who was the point guard, Juwan Evans, who's in the NBA. Wasn't the other kid, isn't he in the NBA too, that we wanted to come here, or is he still in school?
Carroll,
yeah. Did he make it to the NBA?
Jeffrey Carroll, he was on the summer league team with the Lakers.
Okay, so maybe.
Are you talking about Holyfield?
No, I was talking Carroll, yeah, good call. So, you know, now all of a sudden you've got, all right, so Brad Underwood now has put two guards in the NBA with Juwan Evans and,
assuming Io's going to be in the NBA.
Assuming Io's there. I don't think Walkup ended up playing in the NBA. But so now all of a sudden you got a little bit of a, well, I mean, he's getting guards to the NBA. That's what you got to do. But maybe it's one of those where you got to see it a couple of years, two, 3 years to really say, all right, this is becoming a trend at Illinois. that's the place to go.
I think the only excuse you might hear, and of course, it's recruiting, so a lot of crazy things happen, and there are different reasons for decisions. And also, there are other attractive options. Like, sometimes it's not as logical of logical reasoning behind choices. So
right.
Adam Miller could go to Arizona State and be like, I had a good time. I want to do something different. I've been in Illinois my whole life. And someone would be like, well, the basketball fit at Illinois just makes so much sense to go there. And he might be like, well, I want to go to Arizona State. I walked around and it was pretty cool. And I want to do that. Lon knows all about that.
Yes, I do.
But after assuming Illinois makes the tournament, assuming IO is picked, especially in the first round, which those aren't taking too far steps out on a limb and saying that that's going to happen.
Agree.
The only other excuse you might hear after that is there are too many good players at my position. And okay. I think Illinois is running into that a little bit with Biggs, with Kofi and Georgie. But as far as Adam, you're not supposed to hear that, because if Io's gone and Andres Felice is gone, need someone to step into that role next to Trent Frazier. Mm. I know you'll have Austin Hutcherson and Jacob Granderson in that backcourt, but a young guy to kind of come in and be able to score and really put the ball in his hands to do some big things. I think that that's on the table, as it was for Io. Same thing for Adam Miller.
Not a bad problem to have.
No, not at all.
Having too much talent in that backcourt.
If you're good enough, you're going to play, right? I mean, that's the idea.
I mean, I would think the sell to Adam is just be the next Io.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Kind of take over the reins as this is your team and you're the guy and you're going to be a draft pick and here you go.
I mean, you had Io coming in and you had Trent Frazier coming off a wonderful couple of seasons, right? And you had, well, one season, right, for Trent. And you had
one season and Mark Smith was still here. And really, when Io committed, Mark hadn't even played yet. He was just the Mr. Basketball that we'd have to share the backcourt with.
That's a great point. And you had Felice coming in. So there was some, and maybe Io committed before we knew Felice.
Yeah, Felice was in the spring.
That's my bad. But, you know, there was a little bit of that where there's some people in my way, but yet I think for guys like Io, they're like, I'm not worried about that.
I feel like Trent is perfect as the number two option.
Yep.
But maybe not so as the number one.
That's fair.
I mean, I feel like he complements Io really well. He's really good defensively.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's super. I mean, you heard Brad talk about it, like when he missed that game with a concussion, how they really missed him against Georgetown. When he's the number one option, it kind of seems like the volume of shots is kind of ridiculous from Trent in terms of he's going to take 30 shots or something like that. But I think he complements Io, or he would complement Adam as a senior really well.
One thing I would say is they're both pretty similar as far as play style.
Both who?
Adam and Trent.
And Trent, okay.
As far as their combo guards that are wired to score, that's their scoring and making shots is their best attribute.
Both lefties, too.
They are both lefties.
What?
Playmaking and being point guard pass first, you would still want to find that staff would still want to find the next Andres Felice or someone to play in that role.
That
of course, Andre Cabello would be the top of the top of the wish list, but a pure point guard would still be someone that they would seek, even if they get an Adam Miller.
Does the fact that Felice has worked so well, does this put us back in the light of, all right, a JUCO? He was the number one JUCO point guard, right?
He was.
So maybe does that put this staff and this fan base back in the light of, you know what, JUCO's not bad if you have to go that way.
If it's the top of the top of JUCO,
right.
If it's someone that is physically ready for that level and has played against college-level athletes before. I know JUCO isn't the top of the top,
right?
But at the same time, maybe whether it's JUCO or grad transfer, that would be something that you're going to look at. Of course, again, Curbelo. And another angle on Felice is international. The international route, and with Curbelo being from Puerto Rico,
right.
Felice being from Dominican Republic, this is a staff that has been able to bring together guys from all over the place, and they mix well with this campus and all that. So I think that's something that you'll have to look at as well.
And Gentry, a guy that was in Gonzaga, and of course Mark Few loves going with foreign-born players, so I think Gentry will fit right in there. You know, it's funny, you say Trent Frazier, Trevor. I thought of this when you said that. There's certain guys that I really, really, deep down, really like and really root for. I mean, I root for anybody that goes to Illinois, especially. But a guy, and I know Io did this too, but a guy like Tijon Lucas, when nobody was coming to Illinois, no point guard. I mean, there were 500 point guards that said no, and Tijon said yes. I know it didn't work out, but Tijon will always be.
He wasn't bad.
No, he wasn't horrible. And he'll always be a guy that I'm like, you know what? That dude said yes when nobody else did. Trent Frazier's a guy that hung on, right, through the coaching change. He hung on. He's like, nope, I'm all about Illinois. Then he comes in and immediately becomes a fan favorite. And then, of course, Io comes in, and he kind of gets a little bit in the background, but yet Trent handles it fine. I know we worry about it probably more than we should, because I'm sure those guys are just fine with each other. So, you know, there's guys like that that I'm always like, you know, that's cool. And Io's certainly one of those. I think, like, Georgie, let's say, we love Georgie. But that was probably more of an accident more than anything, right? Not an accident. I know they evaluated him, and yeah. I'm not cutting the coaching staff here.
It's unexpected.
Unexpected. That's the better word to say. It's unexpected. He wasn't a guy that you were fighting everybody, and he had a tie to Illinois, if mm-hmm. you will. But there's just little guys like that that I really appreciate. And then guys like the one that's going to go to Ohio State, that guy I'll never talk about.
EJ.
Shh. On that,
I will say something, and this is interesting. I'm pivoting a little bit, but the NCAA tournament you brought up that they don't have, there are 7 high major. I saw this in a Matt Norlander, CBS Sports college basketball preview. He wrote an article yesterday, 50 days until the start of the season. There are 7 high major programs that have gone 7 or more years without an NCAA tournament. Illinois is one of those. He said they are the only one of the 7 that are going to make it this upcoming
wow,
year.
Who are the other
6?
Can you name them?
Okay, wait.
UConn?
I don't want to go too long.
No, not UConn. They won a championship.
Oh, that's right.
Oregon State?
Two others are in the Big Ten.
Okay, Rutgers.
Yep. 1991 was the last time.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh, Minnesota's made it.
It's not Northwestern.
It's not Northwestern.
Team Illinois doesn't do so well against of late.
Penn State.
Penn State 2011.
They won a game there too, didn't they? They beat Temple or something.
Was that a battle?
2011? Yeah.
There's two from the ACC.
Okay.
Clemson?
Nope.
Boston College.
Boston College 2009.
Yeah. Pretty much just pick Boston College in whatever sport.
Who's a ACC?
I don't even remember now who's in the ACC. Oh, Wake Forest.
Other one.
Georgia Tech. I'm sorry, yeah.
2010. Pac-12, one of them.
You said it, didn't you?
It's not Oregon State.
It's not?
They're okay at basketball.
USC.
It's not Cal, because they beat Hawaii. That was Hawaii game that one year.
Used to be Tony Bennett's stomping grounds.
Oh.
As a coach.
Where was he at before?
Washington State?
Yep.
Oh.
Washington State, 2008. And the other one is in the state of Illinois.
DePaul,
2004.
Wow, that's an interesting list.
That is cool. And those
not a great list to be on when you look at the other programs that you're joining.
No. Those teams have all gone seven or more years
without the NCAA.
And that's the most, right? I mean, because Northwestern broke their streak at 500 years.
That is a list of high major programs.
Rutgers 91 is yikes.
Yikes. I don't think they even care
about
when
you're pumping yourself as a top 15 historical program, which Illinois is,
yeah,
you don't want to find yourself on a list with Rutgers basketball, Washington State basketball, and DePaul.
Rutgers fans don't even know there's an NCAA tournament. They have no idea. They're like, what's this March Madness thing?
Why the rack is pretty full.
It is. I agree with that.
I think Rutgers could have been pretty good, but then they lost,
Omari.
Right.
All right, Cardinals win last night. Cubs win last night. Have we had any update on Anthony Rizzo? He's in a walking boot.
Not that I know of. He's just in a boot for the next 5 to 7 days, okay, and then they reevaluate.
We'll talk about the Cubs and the Cardinals in drive time for sure. I do feel like we've kind of let up on baseball talk because we've had so much stuff to talk about.
Unfairly, though, because the two area teams are locked in a super tight race for the playoffs.
I mean, this isn't like having two area teams that are like one in the American League and one in the National League. These are two teams that are literally dependent on each other here. Not dependent, but they could, each one could knock the other one out. And I think one of them is going to make it, right?
Because
even if Milwaukee wins the division, either the Cubs or the Cardinals are the second wild card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Mets
go undefeated the rest of the way out or something
See. In the wild card in the NL, there are technically 3 teams that aren't eliminated that you didn't mention. The Phillies, the Mets, and the Diamondbacks.
And the Diamondbacks.
But they're all like literally 2 or 3 games away from being eliminated.
Okay. So essentially you've got 2 of the 3, either the Cubs, Cardinals, and Brewers, 2 of those 3 are going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
So fight it out to the end. Milwaukee's got a really nice schedule ahead of them. The Cubs have a decent schedule ahead of them, except they play the Cardinals. The Cardinals have the toughest schedule. They had a huge win last night. Dakota Hudson is incredible. And Marcelo Zuna came through in the clutch.
Oh, man.
And the next thing you know, Cardinals win 4-2. That was huge to get by Strasburg. And now you move to the next game and hope. And then I think they're facing Scherzer tomorrow.
Yep. Okay. Scherzer is Waino.
Yeah. Scherzer and Waino.
Another random thing to watch out for is the Braves are only two back of the Dodgers.
Really?
The Dodgers are 96-54. The Braves are 93-58.
Oh, I don't want to play the Dodgers.
So, you know, I mean, the Braves are, you know, and the Dodgers have everything so locked up in their own division. What if they sit down for a week?
Oh, that's true.
I mean, the Braves could easily overtake the one seed, and then suddenly if you're the wild card, you're playing to go against the Braves, which you might prefer over the Dodgers.
Isn't it the perfect... I'm doing this quick MLB talk right now, and I was supposed to do this at 4:50. Trevor's going to...
I won't find you.
He's going to yell at me right after this. Isn't it funny? This is almost the perfect thing for the Dodgers because now they have to get it back in gear. Now they're like, hey, guys, let's go. We got to kick it back up because we don't want to lose home field throughout to the World Series. So let's go. Let's kick it back up. All right. When we come back, NFL Next Question, Week 2 edition, I see some Bears. I see some Packers and Vikings. I even see a Cardinal. That's weird. Mikey Dudek next hour at 5:10. We'll do Drive Time. We're off a little early at 5:45, Cardinals and Nationals. You can always search us on Twitter, at The Drive 93.5. Appreciate a follow.
You can also subscribe to all of our podcasts on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. You can stream us live at espncu.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
With the Discover It Miles card, you can go further than you've ever gone before. Like sun on your face, book in your hand, kids playing in the sand further. Because the Discover It Miles card offers unlimited 1.5 miles on every purchase and will automatically match all the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So that means your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. It's just that easy. So get out there with your Discover It Miles card today. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel.
Will Kane here. If you're like me, you have a mortgage and a family who depends on your income, then you need to protect the ones you love with life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. A cup of coffee a day costs more than that. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-417-5440. That's 1-800-417-5440. Or go to selectquote.com/will. That's selectquote.com/WILL. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
Laremy Tunsil is a known, right? Minkah Fitzpatrick is a known. When we talked about it with this with John Gruden, Khalil Mack, I think we all believe, is on track to have a Hall of Fame career. That's a hard thing to find. The idea that you're going to give up a Khalil Mack for the idea of potentially getting a first-round pick, that to me is not a good way to build your team.
I don't think it's – here's the thing. I'm looking at their side of it in the plan. It's not just getting a first-rounder for him. You're not paying him. So now – they need numbers, and that's what they're trying to do. They got a draft pick for it, and they have the ability to have a bunch of money under the cap to go out and get other players as well. They're not going to get a player like Khalil Mack, but as many were saying, and they're true, how was the Raiders doing with Khalil Mack and a bunch of others around him? They weren't winning.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Looking sharp just got easier with 70 to 85% off Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, and more at Macy's Men's Clearance Suiting Event. Online only. Have head-to-toe style in a Lauren Ralph Lauren wool suit. Originally $625, now $149.99. Plus shirts, pants, and shoes, now $14.99 to $29.99. And ace the casual look with sport coats from $39.99 to $69.99. It's all at Macy's.com. Savings on regular and original prices. Exclusions apply.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Sport Clips Haircuts and NASCAR's number 20 driver, Eric Jones, want to see you at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race in Texas, Sunday, November 3rd. Enter now for your chance to win the ultimate NASCAR race fan experience at sportclips.com/Texas. Meet Eric Jones and win pit passes, hospitality tickets, and more. For the best NASCAR has to offer, enter now at sportclips.com/Texas. No purchase necessary. U.S. only, age 18 or older, ends October 4th, 2019. Void where prohibited.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Situated in the heart of Campus Town, Asian-inspired Italian cuisine can be found at Naya Restaurant.
We took some elements of some Asian food and some techniques. I went to Korea for a while. We took some elements of those and then kind of infused them into Italian. Quite popular is our risotto, which is an Italian dish, but we use Korean beef, bulgogi, with mushrooms in the risotto.
Visit Chef Thad Morrow and his team at Naya Restaurant. See the menu and get more information at NayaRestaurant.com.
If you want the best, go to Body and Soul Sports, your go-to for all your favorites. With shoes from Asics, Adidas, Brooks, and Nike, get comfort and style with an in-store free gait analysis for the proper fit. Perform and look your best with apparel and gear for every season. There's swimwear to compete or for the beach anytime. Men, women, and kids can play like the pros. So walk, run, or ride to Body and Soul Sports. Great store, great service, great prices. Route 45 and Curtis Road in Savoy. Online, body, the letter N, and soulsports.com.
Real estate investing can be very rewarding, especially here in Central Illinois. I'm Brad Bankston, mortgage lender at Molitor Financial Group in Champaign. If you're looking forward to the wealth of passive income that having investment properties can bring, I have over a decade of experience in buying, financing, rehabbing, and managing investment properties. Email me at bradb@molitorfinancialgroup.com, and let's talk about how investing in real estate can be an important part of your long-term financial portfolio.
NMLS number 689928. Molitor Financial Group is an Illinois mortgage licensee.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Well, let me tell you about CMI, yep. Chemical Maintenance Incorporated. Call them for pricing and schedule your equipment survey today. Got heavy equipment that's not performing at 100%? CMI can help. They do preventative maintenance on wet and dry vac, sweepers, scrubbers, and most commercial cleaning equipment. Preventative maintenance with CMI keeps your commercial cleaning equipment performing at its peak. Call CMI at 217-359-6262 today.
All right, Mikey Dudek, former Illini wide receiver, freshman All-American, going to join us next hour around 5:10. He does this every week, but right now we're going to talk a little football, not college style. We're going to do a little... robot that came out. Do they still do that?
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yep.
I wouldn't know now for Fox because I don't get it. Although I get all the other DirecTV
games. Just get the channel connector thing.
I'm going to.
Your antenna.
I keep thinking they'll correct. I mean, now I get to see, you know, Brett and Craig and those guys again on Channel 3.
That's good.
But I couldn't get Fox, so I couldn't watch the Bears game Sunday.
Another thing you complain about is Berman and Tom Jackson are back doing NFL primetime, but it's on ESPN Plus.
Oh,
so you got to pay
right,
extra for that.
You got to pay $4.99 to watch that.
Tom Jackson, I always liked.
I like Tom Jackson.
And
Berman's kind of
Berman,
he's sticky, but he's good at what
right,
he does.
Yeah. Incredible at what he does. But he is one of those guys that after a while you're like, okay, that's enough. That is enough of you.
I remember there was one baseball game he was calling, and I don't know why this sticks in my head.
Was it the Home Run Derby?
No, it was a baseball game, but he did call that as well, where he'd go back. And it was the Giants, and he's calling the game, and he says, amazing stat for you. The Giants have 13 walk-off wins, and they're all at home. And I'm like, well, that's the only
You can get a walk-off?
And for like an inning, he goes on about how incredible it is that they have that many walk-off wins, and all of them came at home. And I'm just like, all right. It
would have been a good joke.
maybe he was trying to joke.
No, I don't think he was joking.
That is weird. All right, we've got some NFL Next questions now with Mr. John Gross, who I think
next
is...
Question.
Yes, he's here.
Akron is 0-3.
Are they really?
Football.
Okay.
I don't know how the basketball team is looking.
Should we end
in with the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
James French.
Should we end with the Bears?
I kind of want to get him back on, by the way, during Akron basketball.
I do, too.
Man.
I do, too.
We can.
I say we get him on just mid-season. Just this year, mid-season football. How things going at Akron. You know, just kind of check in. He was funny, man.
Hey, he was hilarious.
He was awesome. I'll let you do what you want.
Next question.
Okay, we're going to start out with the Bears.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's right.
He's the producer.
The Bears managed to squeak out a 16-14 win in Denver. Are you more encouraged that they won or more discouraged that after that week one performance it came down to a last-second blown call 55-yard field goal for the win?
I'm worried for you guys. And I am going to sit here and put my tail between my legs and say that all of you texters were correct. The ones that were saying, this is why the Bears aren't going to be that good. And not that they're not going to be good, but they're not going to win the division. You know, they won a lot of close games last year. Their schedule's a lot tougher. And I was like, come on, this is ridiculous. This is a team that was Super Bowl bound last year, basically. I'm worried. I'm not backing away from I think they still win this division. But obviously the game against Green Bay is one you're going to rue for the rest of the year. But I'm worried, Derek, but I want you to, I'm not encouraged. I mean, I'm encouraged they won. I'm happy for them that they won, but I'm certainly not encouraged by the fact they beat Denver by two.
Yeah, I'll say these first two things first. Number one is the defense is still pretty incredible.
Yes.
Extremely talented. Not as many turnovers. They only have one through two games, so I don't like that I said that they're going to have as many as last year or around that.
Andrew, not happy. He has them in their fantasy.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're not getting it done.
Yeah, I know.
So if you could pick that up, that'd be great.
Also, the Broncos had won their last 13 home September games, which is a crazy stat. So
wow.
To get a win there is...
That's like a college team.
What you need to do. At the same time, I am encouraged not one iota. Because Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy together on offense is putrid to watch.
Yes.
And somehow, Matt Nagy has shown he has less trust in Trubisky this year than he does last year.
Right.
And to be honest with you, nobody around the team, the fans that watch, think he's a good quarterback.
Mm.
They don't. The play calling has been conservative. It's also to a detriment where you're not taking shots on the field. Although I'll say this, against Denver, Trubisky was 1-for-8 on throws beyond 10 yards.
Oh, wow.
The only one he made was the one that mattered the most to Allen Robinson before they kicked the field goal, but he was wide open.
Right.
Don't give him that much credit. I'm surprised how soft some people have been about Trubisky this week just because they got the win. Not encouraged.
Okay.
Don't feel great about this team. I don't know.
Can I ask the next question, Trevor?
Yeah.
Next question.
When do you guys, what is the defining moment for Mitch Scholl to where you, too, as Bears fans, say, you know what, he is going to be pretty good? And it doesn't have to be this year.
I feel like we're talking about a Lovie Smith defense right now.
Right. Is it year three? Is it year four?
I'm not waiting.
Where you finally say, you know what,
If it doesn't happen this year, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think that's fair because you saw enough from him last year to expect progression. Like, right. If he stunk all of last year and is now continuing to stink, the expectations would be low enough that I suppose any type of a positive would be seen as a huge step forward for him. But he took massive steps forward with Nagy last year. So you can't go backwards.
He did.
Like, he's established enough of a floor after last year that he can't suck as much as he is right now. He just can't.
Okay.
I read an article on The Athletic yesterday. Michael Lombardi, former GM, said the Bears with a good quarterback would be the best team in football.
Wow.
I don't know if the Patriots would be hard to top,
right,
especially with how good their defense is now.
I mean, plug in Mahomes for Trubisky right now.
Oh, good.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a window here with the defense. They have the weapons. They have a better running back, and yet that offense – in the last, like, 6 or 7 games, has averaged 17, 18 points a game.
Stinky smell.
It was pretty clear that Nagy didn't want any part of Trubisky trying to solve Fangio's defense.
Exactly.
Like, he just wanted none of it.
Right. No, I get it. Who's your backup still, the dude from Mizzou?
Chase Daniel, and he's pretty bad.
Yeah.
He's looked bad in the sample size.
Yeah, I'm tired of, I don't know if he's babying him, because I honestly think the play calling has been bad on top of being conservative, but I just... This is year 3 of him.
Yeah, let it go.
You know, if he's got anything, he's gotta show it. You know,
yeah, draft a quarterback this offseason.
Okay.
I don't know.
And you may even need
if you're a good free agent or a trade or something. If you're a good team, I don't see how you're getting one in the back of that first round if you want a Tua or a Herbert.
Well, Josh Rosen may be available. You know,
no.
maybe the Cardinals will give you Kyler Murray and then draft the Clemson dude.
I'm okay with that. I like that.
Yeah, sure.
I think Kyler's going to be good.
I do too. Don't you be getting rid of him, Arizona.
Next question.
Moving on to the Packers, staying in the NFC North. They are 2-0 with 2 division wins and 5 of their next 6 games at home.
Wow.
Are they the NFC North favorites?
5 of their next 6 at home.
I believe so, unless the Vikings counts as one of those. I know Derek rattled that off when he and I were on last week while you were gone. But
man,
they have a very favorable home schedule. Not necessarily the teams, because they play the Eagles and the Cowboys amongst those teams, but I think 5 of their 6 are at home.
Okay. Who'd they beat this last week?
Minnesota.
Oh, that's right, Minnesota. Yes. So, yes. I mean, they've taken care of the two teams in their way in the division. I know Detroit's there, but I'm not worried about Detroit.
Detroit's undefeated.
I'm still not worried about it. Well, they're 1-0-1, right? 1-0-1. I mean, the Cardinals almost beat them, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I mean, I would have said, after seeing the first 2 weeks and having a jump to a conclusion way too fast opinion, I would have said Minnesota's the team that I would take if I had to put money on winning that division. However, them losing then to Green Bay makes me think Green Bay is the favorite to win this division.
Yeah, if you're going to say they're the favorite, I'm not going to argue with you. At the same time, I'm not ready to go there.
That's fair.
Actually like Minnesota better. And the Green Bay Packers have played one good quarter of offensive football. They scored 21 points in the first quarter of that game, then did nothing the rest of it.
Good call.
And one thing about Minnesota is they'll play the Bears in Chicago in week 4. And after that, they won't play the Bears or the Packers again until the last 2 weeks of the season.
Oh, wow.
And they will host Green Bay.
Okay.
So they've gotten the hard part out of the way. And this Green Bay defense, which is clearly improved, but they've played Trubisky and they've played Cousins on their home field.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how proven they are. They're better, but then, I don't know. There's still an uneasy, unproven feeling, but as Trevor said, their schedule is pretty favorable.
So, wait, Green Bay's already played 2 home games.
At Chicago.
Oh, no, it was at Chicago.
Minnesota at home, Denver at home, Philly at home, at Dallas will be tough, Detroit at home, Oakland at home.
Oh, I wouldn't like that if I were Green Bay.
So early?
Yeah, because guess what? Well, first of all, if you're Green Bay, part of your coolness or your weapon is the fact that it's -5 below up there at the end of the season, and teams don't want to go there. I don't know. That's interesting.
Next question.
Speaking of the Vikings, I think Derek made a good point that they're going to get the Packers and the Bears at home in the last 2 weeks. That's kind of a hammer for them if they have it.
Huge.
Derek's already answered this question emphatically, but I said, who do you have more confidence in right now, the undefeated Lions or the 1-1 Vikings?
I'll go quick on this to get us back on track. It's definitely Minnesota. They're running the football. Dalvin looks good early. As long as Cousins can stay out of his way, and that defense is pretty good. So I'm easily Minnesota.
As long as Cousins stops throwing picks on first and goal,
correct?
That they could have won the game.
That's staying out of your way.
Bay. Yep. No doubt. Dalvin Cook.
I was waiting for Vikings -3 to hit on that, and then he throws.
Oh.
Lon, you're all over Dalvin Cook, and that looks pretty good, buddy.
Good call early.
Next question.
The Cardinals.
Oh!
Hey, they were kind of competitive for the second straight week. Lon, are you encouraged after thinking this was just going to be a dumpster fire of a team in a year to have 2 straight competitive games?
Beyond belief, I'm encouraged. Not only do you have a rookie quarterback that already has thrown for two 300-yard games and is calm and cool at all times on the field. But not only that, I wasn't and still am not completely sold on this Cliff Kingsbury experiment either. But you know what? He kind of figured it out after three quarters in week one and said, look, I'm the reason we tied Detroit. I was horrible at calling plays. I don't know if he's protecting Kyler Murray with that. Probably there is a lot to that. But you know what? He looked innovative in week two against a Baltimore team that I think a lot of people are going to struggle to score against. I am incredibly encouraged at what Kyler Murray is going to do. They just need to shore up so many things, unfortunately, for them to be a playoff team. And I don't think they're not a playoff team this year. But I think they took a year closer, in my mind, to being a playoff team with what I've seen so far.
How many quarterbacks can you ask to throw the ball 40-plus times in the first two games of the season, not sit at all, come out and do that against defenses? Detroit,
yeah, Baltimore
and
defense
Baltimore
on the road,
were
yeah.
top half defenses
big
last
time.
Year, if not top third. That's really encouraging. I like Kyler a lot. David Johnson,
yep,
obviously pretty good. Just shore up next the offensive line and the defense, but I think you have something to really build around.
And Larry Fitzgerald, week one, looked like he was 28 again.
I know.
The guy is incredible.
J-Lo in the NFL.
Yep.
The Jets were down eight starters, against the Browns last night, lost 23-3. They also lost their backup quarterback, Trevor Siemian. They're down to their third-string quarterback. 2 weeks into the season, are the Jets' playoff hopes done?
I mean, they're the Jets. I don't think I had any hopes for him.
Well, a lot of people with Bell.
I know,
and
no,
Darnold.
I'm kidding. Listen, yeah, the injuries right now, I don't think they're done because, I mean, that division obviously will be won by the Patriots, but who else is in that division?
Like, the Bills are 2-0.
Oh, that's right. Maybe that division's...
Dolphins.
Oh, okay, well, there's two wins. You'll beat the Bills at least once. There's three. Well,
they already beat you, though, week one. They already beat the Jets.
The Bills beat the Jets.
Or not the. Yeah, no, that's true. Okay, my bad. I don't. I've just hit a wall here. No, I'm not.
Your AFC East knowledge is.
Right, it's really gone downhill in a hurry. Playoff hopes done. Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah, I thought they were a player potentially for the wild card, but I think the North gets two. AFC North gets two teams in, the Ravens and the Browns, and I also think the Chargers could probably still make the playoffs out in the West. The funny joke here is how can Darnold be the first quarterback in New York to have gotten mono when Joe Namath was out there?
Susie Colbert.
That's just you're not sleeping enough.
Apparently.
Right?
Sure.
Why is it still that the Giants and Jets share a stadium?
I don't know. And the stadium's not in the state of New York.
And it's really not that nice of a stadium, it looks like.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Pretty
I haven't
basic.
Been there.
It's just around.
Yeah, it's just kind of a cookie cutter.
Speaking of the Browns, I know the Browns won last night, but I don't know. Like, I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, you should be beating a team that's missing 50% of their starters by more than 20. Like, the Jets had a chance at some point in that game. I think they didn't convert on a fourth down to make that a one-score game.
Yep. And Tennessee pretty much dominated.
Tennessee blew them out.
Are you saying you like the Rams minus three this week?
Yes.
At the Browns?
I do.
It's weird that the Browns...
Could you flip to the Browns schedule?
Isn't it funny if you're a Browns fan right now going, finally, we're going to be good. Right. And then you get 2 weeks in going, oh, crap.
And I'm not saying, like, Odell looked good, okay?
Yeah,
Mayfield looked good. But I'm just sitting there going, after getting embarrassed in week one, now you're playing a team that is literally missing 50% of their players.
Wow.
And you beat them by 20?
Yeah.
Like, and I think they have a tough schedule coming up, don't they?
This week,
and your
Rams
defense
at home.
Should be better.
Right.
Your defense
should Rams be at home, I don't think, is a win.
At Baltimore.
No.
At San Francisco.
Yeah.
Seattle at home, at New England.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's like...
It's a little easier after that, though.
But that right there is like 1-7 to start, if you ask me. I don't know. I just think we're a little high on the Browns.
Okay, that's fair. And unfortunately for Browns fans, we're probably right.
Next question.
Two other major quarterbacks had injuries. We didn't really talk about Trevor Siemian, but that's because he's Trevor Siemian. Big Ben is out for the year. They're going to ride with Mason Rudolph. And then Drew Brees is out at least 6 weeks. What is the impact on those two teams of those two injuries?
You know, I thought Teddy Bridgewater didn't look too bad and look collective. You know, I mean, it's nice to be able to throw in a backup, and it's Teddy Bridgewater who started a lot of games. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't that unimpressed with Mason Rudolph. It's just that Ben Roethlisberger is kind of what made, you know, he makes that thing click in Pittsburgh. I think that's a killer for the Steelers. I really do. I don't know if it's that huge of a killer with Drew Brees, and I'm not just talking about Ben out for the year and Brees out only six. I think Bridgewater can keep them kind of above water. Now, I haven't looked at their schedule.
Bridges.
Oh, wow. That was
above water.
My goodness, that was really
that was
good.
That was awesome.
I got to find it. Oh, I played the drive. Why am I doing this? See, this is why I don't do that.
Could have made that perfect. He could have said, as Bridgewater does, as Bridgewaters do, they keep you above water.
They keep you above
like
water. I'm just going to shut up. I'm having a bad segment.
No, I can't follow that pun right there, but the Steelers would be lucky to be 8-8, in my opinion, with Big Ben out. And then Breeze, their schedule's tough. At Seattle this week, then Dallas. Tampa's not tough, but at Jacksonville and then at Chicago. I hope that at Chicago.
That's a break for
Bridgewater against Bears defense.
Yes, please. Should be able to win that
game.
Watch,
that'll be the game he makes a miraculous return.
Next question.
Same question as last week. We mainly focused on the Browns' big loss. What is your overreaction from week two of the NFL season?
I think a little bit of me is still with Cleveland. I really thought Cleveland was going to be really good. I thought that this, with this defense, Baker looked unbelievable last year. They added weapons to it. I thought Cleveland would come out and be a playoff team. And right now, after 2 weeks, and then after hearing that schedule, I don't know that they make the playoffs. This is a tough question here because I didn't realize you were going the whole thing. The other thing is, I think Dallas is good. Really good. Like, not just, we all knew they'd be good, right? I think they're really good. I think they're a team now that I may put up near the top, if not the top of the NFC.
Okay. Two overreactions that I wouldn't put stock in. Number one is the 49ers, who are 2-0, and they absolutely blasted the Bengals, and Garoppolo looked great. You still got to prove it more than that.
Sure.
Beating the Bucks and the Bengals, come on. Also, you're going to hear that the Packers have a Super Bowl-level defense, and I already mentioned to you they played Trubisky and they played Cousins at home. That's still hasn't been proven. One thing that I am buying into, though, is that Cam Newton for Mitch Trubisky would be a fair trade.
Ooh.
Cam Newton has been
broken.
He's been horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And is Trubisky from that Carolina area?
Well, he went to the UNC.
I knew he went there, so I wasn't sure if he was from there.
So Cam Newton has shown he can play quarterback in this league. He's just broken physically, the shoulder and the ankle. Yeah. He can't run now. Trubisky's a good athlete who can't play quarterback. And Newton has money tied up. So after they got next year, $18 million, and after that, he's an unrestricted free agent.
So you want him on the Bears.
And actually, a stat is percentage of uncatchable balls thrown, Newton and Trubisky lead the league.
Wow.
Newton's actually above him at above 31%.
Ugh. And you want him on the Bears?
I'm just saying it'd be a fair trade.
Oh, it'd be a fair trade. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Who would you rather have going forward right now? Like, you both these guys come into your office. You're the GM. You have to pick one. You have no idea how healthy Cam's going to be. You know Mitch will probably be healthy, but you know he just kind of stinks.
Probably Cam. I'd still go with
rolling
Cam.
The dice?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still going Cam. What about you two?
I'd probably roll the dice on Mitch only because he's got years on him in terms of age and injury. Like, Mitch could suddenly be good.
But the Bears are winning now, right? I mean, honestly.
But Newton's hurt right now.
Well, right.
I would love to say Cam take a year off and then be ready for next year.
Exactly.
I don't know, though. The Bears, as Trevor said, win now. I don't know if they can win with either, though.
Yeah.
Win big enough, I should
say. Right.
My overreaction, and it's not one, is that the Dolphins may be one of the worst teams ever.
Ever.
Like 0-16.
Although we laughed about this yesterday because we forgot. I said how they might be the worst team ever, and then I was like, well, wait, Cleveland.
Just had the 0-16
season.
Yeah,
it was like they were just 0-16.
And the Lions before
that. So I'm guessing we were thinking the same thing. I mean, who is Miami's played New England.
And the Ravens.
But now they get to play Dallas.
Both
at Dallas.
Both games were like embarrassing spreads.
Yeah.
And Dallas
is
minus 22 right now.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think Miami's the exception to the rule. If it's plus more than 20 in the NFL, you have to take the underdog. I think Miami's just so bad that you don't.
Yeah. Well, and Miami didn't cover against New England, right?
No, not at all.
49-0.
It was a minus 19 spread for New England. They won by 43.
So in my league, and I've explained this 100 times, we score a ton of points, right? Like last night, Le'Veon Bell and OBJ got the dude I was playing who ended up beating me. They got him over 100 points. So it's ridiculous. This league was founded in 1992 or 3. Just let it go. New England's defense normally scores like 16 on a good week. New England had 53 points.
Yeah.
Their defense.
ESPN Standard League, I think they had 35.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Why do they have to be good every year? I want to piped up about that.
All right,
I want to piped up about why every year of my life going forward, How long have they been good? Was I like 26 when they started to become good? I'm 48 now.
I was born in the late 90s, so I don't remember a year when they weren't.
Oh, my. Okay, it's ridiculous. Mikey Dudek is going to join us next hour. We'll talk some Illini football and the loss to Eastern Michigan. What does it mean for Mikey Dudek? We'll ask him. It is The Drive with Say and Piper.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.